And then in that moment, all of a sudden, where you should be terrified is the most blissful experience of your life. And God placed the best things in life on the other side of terror. On the other side of your maximum fear are all of the best things in life.
You probably recognize that voice as the uber talented Will Smith, and he'll be joining us on today's Super You podcast with his 7 super tips.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.
Love this one. Fail early, fail often, fail forward. You know, it's always a little bit frustrating to me when people have a negative relationship with failure. Failure is a massive part of being able to be successful. You have to get comfortable with failure. You have to actually seek failure. Failure is where all of the lessons are. You know, when you go to the gym and you work out, you're actually seeking failure. You want to take your muscles to the point where you get to failure, because that's where the adaptation is. That's where growth is. Successful people fail a lot. They fail a whole lot more than they succeed. They extract the lessons from the failure, and they use that, the energy, and they use the wisdom to come around to the next phase of success. Gotta take a shot. You have to live at the edge of your capabilities. You gotta live where you're almost certain you're gonna fail. It's a reason for practice. Practice is controlled failure. You're getting to your limit, getting to your limit, getting to your limit. You can't lift that. You can't do that. Until you get to the point that all of a sudden your body makes the adjustment, and then you can do it. Failure actually helps you to recognize the areas where you need to evolve. So fail early, fail often, fail forward.
This is so true. We have to embrace that failure. He phrases it a little differently, but we like to say here is fail fast, fail forward, fail better. Fail fast meaning if you're going to do it quick and do it cheap. When we talk about fail forward, that means you actually evaluate that failure. Now, as teams, that's really difficult for us to do. And even as individuals, it's tough for us to look ourselves in the mirror and have that conversation. It's uncomfortable, but that's the only way we can get better. And that's what I mean about failing better. We learn from our mistakes and actually move forward. And so it's really about fail fast, fail forward, and fail better. Now, I also want to be careful here, because a lot of people say failure makes you better. And that's completely not true. Evaluated failure makes you better. That's why we always preach that fail fast, fail forward, and fail better. Now, in our DNA, it's been hardwired since we were little. All of us either played an instrument or played a sport. And what did they always tell us? Practice makes perfect, which is perfectly wrong. Practice leads to progress. Let me correct that. Proper practice leads to progress. Improper practice can lead to the wrong kind of permanence. So in life, we're not striving. I mean, our goal might be perfection, knowing we'd never reach it. It's just we put that perfection out there. But our goal's not perfection. Our goal each and every day is progress. That's where we get fulfillment. Fulfillment comes from one key thing: growth. We always want to be getting better. We always want to be growing. And so when we think about it's all circular, when we think about that failure, and that practice doesn't lead to perfect. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice, proper practice, leads to progress. Moving on to tip number 2.
You know, for me, the daily confrontation with fear has become a real practice for me since about three years ago. I went skydiving in Dubai, right? And skydiving is a really interesting confront with fear, right? So I gotta stand up. I'm sorry, I gotta stand up. All right, so All your friends, what happens? You
Hold on.
So what happens is you go out the night before and you know, you take a drink with your friends and somebody says, yeah, we should go skydiving tomorrow. And you go, yeah, we'll go skydiving tomorrow. Yeah, yeah, and you go, yeah, and everybody goes, yeah, right? And you go home and you by yourself, you're like, right? You're like, well, yeah, I mean, they was drunk too. Right, so maybe they not, maybe, I mean, we don't have to go, we don't have to do it. So then that night you're laying in your bed and you just keep, and you're terrified, you keep imagining over and over again jumping out of an airplane and you can't figure out why you would do that, right? And you're laying there and you have the worst night's sleep of your life, but you still have the hope that your friends were drunk, right? So you wake up the next day and you go, you know, down and you say where you were going to meet and everybody's there. You're like, oh, shit. all right, cool. Right? So you get in the van and you don't know that your friends had the same night that you had because they're pretending like they didn't. They're like, yeah, man, my uncle's a Navy SEAL and, you know, this is going to be great. I've been looking forward to this. And you're like, oh, my God. And your stomach is terrible. You can't eat and everything, but you don't want to be the only punk who doesn't jump out of this airplane. So you get there and then you have this safety brief. And you're standing there, and the guys will tell you, well, if the chute doesn't open, what's going to happen is you're doing, what could happen? That the chute wouldn't open, right? So you do a thing, and what you do is your first jump, you're attached to a guy who is going, you know, he's going to walk you out. So you go, and you get there, and there's an airplane, and nobody's stopping. Everybody's still going. So you get onto the airplane, and you're sitting there, and you know, it's extra because you're sitting on some dude's lap, some stranger. He's sitting on his lap, and it's like, you know, you're trying to make small talk. Yeah, man. So you'd be jumping with people all the time, huh? Right, you know. So, and then you just want to make sure, yo, you got kids, right? You got people you need to see, right? You just want to make sure he's serious, right? So you get in there, so everything's normal. So you fly and you go up to 14,000 feet, and you notice there's a light. It's red and it's yellow and green, right? So right now the light's red. So then you start thinking at some point the light's going to go green, but you don't know what's going to happen, right? And you wait and it goes yellow and the light goes green and somebody opens the door. And in that moment, you realize you've never been in a freaking airplane with the door open. Right? Terror. Oh, sorry, I'm spitting. I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. No, terror. Right? So you go and then, you know, if you were smart, you sat in the back so you don't go first, right? And then people start going out of the airplane. And you go and the guy walks you up to the end of the thing and you're standing and your toes are on the edge and you're looking out down to death. And they say, on three. And they say, one. Two, and he pushes you on two because people grab on three, right? Right? And you go, and you fall out of the airplane, and in 1 second, you realize that it's the most blissful experience of your life. You're flying, right? It doesn't feel like falling, right? It's like you actually are kind of held a little bit by the wind, and then you start falling, and there's zero fear. You realize that the point of maximum danger is the point of minimum fear. It's bliss. It's bliss, and you're flying, right? And you're doing that, and then 20 seconds, 25 seconds, 40 seconds, and you have enough time to just kind of be like, oh, shit, that's that building. That's not like that one. Oh, you can see the ocean. Right? You start doing all of that, and the lesson for me was, why were you scared in your bed the night before? What do you need that fear for? Just don't go. Why are you scared in your bed 16 hours before you jump? Why are you scared in the car? Why could you not enjoy breakfast? What did you need that? The fear is fear of what? You're nowhere even near the airplane. Everything up to the stepping out, there's actually no reason to be scared. It only just ruins your day. You don't have to jump. And then in that moment, all of a sudden, where you should be terrified is the most blissful experience of your life. And God placed the best things in life on the other side of terror. On the other side of your maximum fear are all of the best things in life.
This is such a great skydiving story, and I can really relate to it. Anyone, any listener out there, I'm sure if you send in your stories, send them in. Send in some of the best stories are skydiving stories. To be honest, when I was in New Zealand, I did bungee jumping and also skydiving for the first time. But the skydiving, this is what happened to me. First of all, at the time, I'm a tall guy, right? I'm 6'6", almost 6'7". When the sun's out, I'm close to 6'7". And at Michigan State, they're like, put on muscle. It's a totally different game in basketball. But at the time, it's like, you got to get more muscular, more muscular, more muscular. And honestly, muscle weighs a lot. So at the time, I was probably about 222, and the limit was 200. They couldn't take you in tandem because you're too heavy for when the landing. But fortunately, obviously, the United States, this would never happen. But over there, they don't have the liability that we do. They say, hey, if you want to jump out a plane and kill yourself, that's up to you. And so this guy, one of the instructors, goes, I'll take you up. And so this Kiwi takes me up. And just as Will Smith mentioned, it's so funny, you have to sit on this guy's lap that you just met because you're harnessed. You're clipped into this person on the ground. And so it sounded like Will had seats. We didn't have seats. So I was just sitting on the ground of this small plane, and the guy's right behind me. So his face is right next to my face. Fortunately, I gave him some gum. I had some gum. But it's awkward. And I even said, this is really awkward. You know, what are we going to talk about? Because it takes about an hour to get up in the air to get over the drop point. But anyways, I didn't go first. One of my buddies did. And they jump out of that plane. And literally, within seconds, they're a tiny dot. And so, as Will mentioned, as you just got to not count to three, you've just got to go. But it's one of the most amazing experiences. And New Zealand's one of the most beautiful places. So I was so grateful that I was able to do that. Drop down. The remarkable mountains are right there. It was a perfect day. And once you drop out, like he said, the fear, you have all this anxiety before you jump. But at the moment that you jump, which is the most dangerous time, one of the most dangerous times, the landing's probably the most dangerous. But you're the calmest during that storm. And so it really resonates with me. And this is shameless plug somewhat, but with my book launch, The Focus Project, I have all this fear about if no one buys it, or more importantly, did I have our team exhaust all their time and energy and then I let them down? Or did I let my readers down? Did they don't like the book? And so you have all this fear, or maybe it only sells one copy, but you have all this fear before you launch something. And it really resonated with me right now because of the book launch. And again, shameless plug, but the reason I bring it up is because, you know, you have all these nerves and all this fear. But at the moment, once you hit that button, once you hit that launch button, once I hit send on Amazon, once it posted, once it published, once we could see it in the bookstore, then all that fear subsides, which is weird because that's when the fear should be there. But anyways, real quick to wrap up this skydiving story, which has gone on way too long. But when we go to land, so you've got a person behind you, you're a little bit lower if you've ever done this in tandem. And so the front person's really supposed to lift up their legs and then the back person kind of lands. But he had told me, hey, I'm going to need you because you're taller, a little heavier. I need you to help me on the landing. So I want you to put your feet down as well. And fortunately, we do have this on video. We have it on video. We'll try to, team, if we can try to dig this through the archives, it would be hilarious. But when we land, I could tell on the video, this guy goes, oh no, no way. I'm not taking one for this guy. I'm having him take the landing. So I land 1, 2, 3. He doesn't put his feet down and I just face plant. And you're moving pretty fast. Fortunately, it's on a grass field. And I just face plant and slide with this dude that probably weighs about 100. No, I mean, sorry. Probably was about 195 pounds. Yeah. On my back, face plant, grass stains all, like the longest grass stain you've ever seen in the history of the life. From head to toe, giant grass stain. But anyways, thanks for letting me indulge in that story. And it really resonated with me, as you can tell. I'll be quiet for some of the other super tips throughout this show. But this one really, really resonated with me. And I hope it resonated with you as well. Definitely, let's do this. Send in your best, or not your best, send in your skydiving story. If you've gone skydiving, we've all done it. If you haven't done it, do it. It's so great. It is so amazing. But anyways, here we are, back to the 7 Super Tips with Will Smith.
As a child, my parents always told me, you could be whatever you want to be. You could do whatever you want to do. And, you know, that office, that position, the highest office on the face of the earth, it was something I heard my parents saying it, but I didn't totally believe it. Yet I went out in the world and I carried myself and I held my head high and I stood there and I looked people in their eyes and I talked to people as if I was deserving of everything that this planet has to offer. So I really want to say to children out there and to people who are watching, Confucius said one time, he who says he can and he who says he can't are both usually right. So I want to stand here before you, and as I hold this award, I want to give love to my wife, and I want you to keep in your heart, just know that you can. Know that you can.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt, but this is very, very important. So many of you have reached out to me, and thank you so much for reaching out. It means the world to me. So many of you have reached out and told us that, hey, I want your book now. I have someone that needs it now. And so instead of launching in October, which has proven to be best for sales, we realized that so many people are struggling during quarantine that I'm going to give my new book out. It's live right now. It's live on Amazon right now. It's called The Focus Project. It's how do we focus in these ever-changing times. And so go check it out. Or more importantly, let's do this. Let's get behind it. There's some friend that you know. There's a family member that's struggling with quarantine. They're struggling with all this external change, and they really can't focus. It might be they're having to homeschool their kids, or they're worried about their kids actually being in school, or whatever it might be. Let's do that. We talk about posting it forward all the time on this show. So let's do a massive post it forward. Go to Amazon.com. It's called The Focus Project, or search my name and just get that book. Ship it to them prime. Help someone out. Help someone out, you know, that's struggling during this quarantine. I am super excited for this book. I think it's my best book yet. And most importantly, I think it's going to really help people out. And again, I can't thank you enough for all the help that you do out there. And thank you for listening to the show. So I hope you check it out. And most importantly, I hope you help someone out. Now let's get our focus back to Will Smith, because he is spitting some fire right now. Super tip number 4.
I think the most important thing that I would hope that you would carry is that you're not doing it for you, mm-hmm. right? That the art that we create is to inspire people. Mm-hmm. You know, when we step on stage, it's not for our ego. You know, it is to make the world brighter. You know, when you create mm-hmm. something, you're trying to create a moment or a feeling or trying to create an idea or inspire people to make their lives better, mm-hmm. right? And I see a lot of people get caught in ego gratification. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get caught in you know, creating for money or mm-hmm. Creating for girls to like you. Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing in my career has been the constant commitment to putting something in the world of value, mm-hmm. not putting something in the world that makes me look hot, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So I think as long as you can stay focused on delivering your art and delivering yourself and delivering your energy and delivering your ideas for the world to be better, you'll find it much easier to survive in the cauldron of this, you know, Hollywood machine.
You gotta love Will's mindset. He's made it. He's done. He could just sail off into the sunset if he wants to, but each and every day he gets up and reminds himself, I'm here to provide value. How can I do that? He could take the easy path and just say, I've made my millions. I'm just gonna move forward, just relax. But he's saying, how do I provide value each and every day? That's why I was given the commencement address. If you check it out on YouTube, when I was given commencement addresses, virtual commencement addresses, I always started off with, I hope your goal in life, to the graduates, I hope your goal in life, that your goal is not to be successful. My hope is that your goal is to be valuable. Why do I say that? Because if you provide that value, you will ultimately be successful. And so it's really about waking up each and every day. How to provide value to that person? How do I give? When you give, then you get. We talk about value. You talk about purpose. Purpose came up. What's your purpose? And if you don't know what your purpose is, it's hard to find your purpose. It's not easy. Always align your passion with your purpose. And so if you don't know your passion, which is understandable, whether you're 18 or 80, and so I always tell people, this is a great exercise that I've done that helps me a lot, is just write down at the end of the day, what made you the happiest and why? What made you the happiest and why? Or you can do it in your phone, put in 5 alerts that alert you, and you stop and you pause and you write down, this is what I'm currently doing and this is how it's making me feel. And over time, you're going to see that pattern. You're going to see a pattern of what your passion is. It helps you find your passion, and that aligns with your purpose. And I've been lucky. I was blessed with amazing parents, and they taught me early on that the meaning of life is to find your gifts, and then your purpose is to give these gifts away. For me, it took me a long time to really find my purpose, and it didn't happen until I had kids, and my brothers had told me that, hey, I can't really explain it to you, but once you have your first kid, they had their kids before I did. Once you have your first child, it'll be a revelation. I can't explain it to you, so I'm not going to waste my time. And these are my brothers. We don't really get into super deep conversations. And so we do now. Now that we have kids, we do. But before this, they're very high level, talk about sports, how you doing, rah, 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 kind of bro talk, dude talk. And for them to tell me that, I knew it was going to be big. And so for anyone out there that's been blessed to have kids, if you're a mom, if you're a dad, then you know, like, each and every day you have that as a singular purpose, that it's really about, how do I make the world better through them? And then you have other things. Obviously, you're not just, you'd be a bad mother or father or a bad mom or dad if that's all you did. Your kids, you'd drive them nuts if you're so hyper-focused on them. But you do have that. It just is a revelation of, my brother said, you're going to realize how selfish you've been your whole life. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was getting kind of mad. You're calling me selfish? I go, no. You're just going to realize how selfish you've been with your time once you have your kids. And so whether you have kids or not, it's just about always getting back to your purpose and to your passion. And having kids really gave me that perspective, and it gives me perspective each and every day. Speaking about perspective, let's move on to the next super tip from Will Smith. Super tip number 5.
I realized that when to have the level of success that I want to have, it's difficult to spread it out and do multiple things. You know, it's in order to be world class, and I've made a decision, I want to be world class. Okay. And it just, it takes such a desperate, obsessive focus, yeah, to excel on the level that I want to make movies. You know, I was Star Wars when I was young. I sat in a movie theater and watched Star Wars, and I just couldn't believe that movie made me feel like that, just floored and just stunned by the creativity. And just, I'm realizing that in order to move people in that way, in order to touch people in that way, you really got to focus with all of your fiber and all of your heart and all of your creativity.
This is Anna Maria with this week's 5-star review from The Other Haley. Inspiring and motivating. Eric continues to inspire me and continues to show how you can be the best version of you. Everyone already is amazing, but he shows you how to channel that. His format is easy to understand and engages you. Thank you, The Other Haley, for your review. The best way for others to discover our Super You podcast is by listening and posting a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the Super You podcast. Thanks again, The Other Haley, for listening and for your awesome review.
Here's the next tip from the man whose real name is Willard Carroll Smith Jr. Super tip 6.
What is the difference between depression and joy, right? And I think it's purpose, right? It's like when you wake up in the morning and your life means something to somebody other than you, that you have a purpose. If you don't go do the things that you're going to do, people's lives will suffer. And I think that that kind of purpose, that like to live in service, not to you, but to live in service to humanity, to live in service to your family, to live in service to your church, to your city, to your country, to the world, living in service is that, I feel like that is the purest form of joy.
Here's the next tip from Will Smith, who turned down the role of Neo in The Matrix to star in the not-so-popular movie Wild Wild West. And here we are with today's last 7 super tips, number 7 from Will Smith.
I have a mission statement. So every year for probably the past 10 years, I've worked out a mission statement for myself. And for the last few years, the mission statement has stayed the same. And it, you know, it's been improve lives, right? So when I go into something, I'm looking for how the quality of this piece could potentially improve lives. But it's all along the way. It's when you make the movie and how you're interacting with people in the process. And you know, the concept of improving lives runs through the center of everything I do. And then I realized that the way to improve lives is to continually improve yourself, right? So with that, every morning when I get out of the bed, you know, I haven't fixed everything in the world yet, so there's always something to do. Yeah. And in this film, I read an interesting quote Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. He said that good people have to get out of the bed every day and try to empty the ocean with a ladle, right? And I thought that was, you know, I knew that was profound, and I paused for a second, and I said, all right, what the hell is a ladle, right? Right, so then, you know, I touched it on my iPad, it's ladle. Oh, it's like a big spoon, okay.
As we
it's
say,
like
Philly.
A soup spoon, yeah, it's like a soup spoon. I was like, why are you a soup spoon? So trying to empty the ocean with a soup spoon, you know, as the mentality of how you wake up every day to try to do good in the world. So for me, I'm really driven by continually trying to elevate my mind and elevate my spirit and care for my body and to be able to love as many people as effectively as possible with this mystery of life that I've been given.
That's it for today's Super You podcast. I'm your host, Eric Qualman. A lot of you know me as Equal Man. My favorite by far was the story about the skydiving and also just his thought process around fear. You know, why do we let it consume us? Or if you've ever gone scuba diving, my scuba instructor many, many years ago told me that fear is simply an acronym for false evidence appearing real. And I know there's a lot of stuff out there during quarantine we can't control with this pandemic. And so it's really controlling what we can control. Don't let that fear creep in. I know it's a dangerous world out there by all means. I don't want to understate it, but don't create it. Don't put gasoline on that fear. Remember that fear is false evidence appearing real. Again, that's it for today's podcast. Until next time, I just want to remind all of us, it's not what we take from the world. It is what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3, 2,
1.
Super, 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 super,
super you.